You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
OBM, Ohio Business Machines and Sharp Copiers. When it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team is unconditional. Make your number one pick the preferred document services provider of the Browns, OBM. With OBM's exclusive guarantees and their designation as the only Sharp Platinum level service provider in town, they've made unconditional fans out of all of their customers. Only OBM has the X's and O's for your office when putting together a Sharp Products playbook for your business. Call 216-485-2000 or visit ohiobusinessmachines.com. There you go. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Dog Bowl and Berea. A lot to talk about here today. Interesting reports about discord in the front office and between the coaches. Again, I can tell you 100% there is no discord between Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine. Those two are working in lockstep and working this week, again, to improve upon their first year together. Both new on the job, first year together, not the typical structure where the GM picks the coach, and they're trying to figure out how to do what they did well last year, which I think there were a lot of good personnel moves, and also improve on the spots that they can improve on. And I think that is very, very good for the Browns going forward. All right. We also want to talk about running backs. That's our topic of the day today. You could call us and give us your grades for the running backs and how you feel about that position headed into the offseason. I can tell you just right off the top, feel a heck of a lot better about the running back position than I do about the quarterback position going into next year. And also Colin Cowherd talking about negativity breeding negativity here in Cleveland. And there is a lot of it. There's no question about it. And we can talk about that as well. Let's go to John in Columbus now. John, welcome to the show. Let's go to Chevy in New Jersey. What's up, Chevy?
Guys, how are you?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. I would have to agree that there is negativity. It's also in the press. Every time something goes wrong, they list all the quarterbacks, all the changes, everything. But, you know, you guys really help a lot. That show you had yesterday at the end there, that quarterback thing, that was amazing. That I never heard of a show in my life that complete.
Thank you.
It was amazing. But I want to talk about Johnny Football for a second and
yep.
Kyle Shanahan. Shanahan needs to finish the job he was hired to do, number one. And Johnny Football needs to earn the pay that he was given. I don't really think it's about alcohol. I think it's about privilege. Is he a privileged kid or is he a blue-collar guy? You know, and I think he will be a blue-collar guy. We can't afford to draft a quarterback this year. There's no good ones. So let's just see what we got, and we could always get a quarterback with the following draft. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much. And I agree. I think Kyle Shanahan 1 year into his deal. Listen, if a guy gets an opportunity to be a head coach in the NFL, every coach gets in the business to be a head coach. I don't begrudge him that. But if he's attempting to pull a lateral move and get out of here just to get out of here, I don't like that. And I love Kyle Shanahan. I like him as a coordinator, and I really like him as a guy. I've gotten to know him pretty well this season, being in the building. One of the guys that I like the most, in fact, that I enjoy talking to the most on this whole coaching staff. So I really do hope he stays for a variety of reasons.
I do too, and I think a lot of that has to be because I think the Cleveland Browns are a great platform for Kyle Shanahan because they took a step in offensively with our ability to run the football with a great offensive line early in the season and sporadically throughout the remainder of the season. I think he grew Brian Hoyer as a quarterback and led him to some victories. We saw and you and I were so high on Kyle Shanahan through the midpoint of this football season based on his play calling. You know, there was game after game, and again, there were lowly opponents where he was just scheming guys open, and it was, you know, in some cases it was the perfect play at the perfect time. Guys were wide open, and I feel that if Kyle Shanahan, or in Kyle Shanahan staying rather, here in Cleveland, we have a great platform for him to continue to grow this offense, and I think in doing so, his name will stay relevant.
No question.
In the NFL, and he will be considered every offseason to leave and take a head coaching job because of the growth that this team and this offense is capable of doing because of the playmakers and because of the foundation that we have offensively that Kyle has to work with. If it was complete restructure, Kyle Shanahan would go, whoa, that's a tedious task, you know, that I'd rather go the easy way out and go coach for a better football team, you know, offensively. As opposed to taking a head coaching job. But I think he likes being here. I think he likes the guys that he works with. I think the offensive line gives everybody, with Alex Mack getting healthy, the optimism to know what we're capable of because of the way we played when he was healthy.
No question about it. Let's go now to Don in Jackson, Mississippi. Going on down to Jackson. What's up, Don?
Hey, Nathan. How you doing?
Good.
Well, just wanted to touch on the negativity. I'm born and bred Cleveland. I'm just a resident of Jackson, but I'm constantly following Cleveland sports from all teams, and it's a constant debate within my own family. My older brother just thinks the whole city is cursed. He just feels that it doesn't make sense for the Indians to fall the way they've fallen, the way LeBron left the city, and now he's back, and now he's back to being unhappy. And then when you look at the Browns, he looks at it as being just a totally cursed city, and that we'll never win a championship. No matter what we'll do, it just will not happen. And to just quit on all the teams and just move on, well, in my own personal opinion, I just think as an adult and as a fan, you just got to be objective about everything, you know, and look at how what approaches that each team is taking, whether it's the Indians, the Cavaliers, or the Browns. And once again with the Browns, I pointed to him with this Shanahan situation that's just bad business from the top down, that, you know, here it is, we're going through this mess again. After the team moved, we had to start over from scratch and, you know, appoint new people who made bad decision after bad decision with each draft, and that still wasn't enough proof for him to prove that it's bad decisions. It's just as sad, and I think the losing has mentally abused the whole city, and now it has, you know, grown men believing that it's a cursed city instead of just bad decision after bad decision.
You make some great points, and again, I actually wrote down a few notes here about the Colin Cowherd vocals that we've heard thus far. And to me, and I've said this about the quarterback position and about the Cleveland Browns in general, but we can generalize this and make it more about the city. I think what's frustrating, of course, because it comes down to winning and losing, and what it seems like to me personally, and in some cases I'm not giving you an answer to why, it's just my perspective on this situation, is I think Cleveland fans look around the nation and look around at other cities in every sport, and they feel that everyone else is getting it right. Everyone else is rebounding. Everyone else has struggles too, but they seem like to rebound or get it right or get lucky with a pick. And because they're not in that city, it seems as if it's easy that those other teams are lucky, or it's easy for them to do it. And it seems like we're always not getting it right. We're always being disappointed. And why is it so hard on Cleveland? And I just think it's a lot of the reason why the fans here in Northeast Ohio, or Cleveland fans in general, or Cleveland sports teams fans, they jump in because of all the negative and because of all the bad on any little bit of hope, instead of truly understanding the process that is professional sports, that is happening in those other cities, in those other markets. Of look at Kansas City, for example. They've went from 2-14 to 12-4. And then they got their dose of reality, and they leveled out. Were they in the playoff hunt just like Cleveland for a while? Yes.
Yeah.
But they leveled out. And I just think that to me is the perspective that I take, that they see nationally someone else going from worst to first, and they just want that for Cleveland so bad because their heart and their passion is here.
I can tell you, and the worst to first thing is that's good, but you want sustained success, and that's what you're trying to build. And I think the frustration is there hasn't been any success here, let alone sustained. The glimpse in 2007, back when you went to the playoffs with Machine Gun Kelly Holcomb that year against Pittsburgh. But for the most part, it has been bad, bad, bad. And I can just give, you know, my kind of unique perspective on it, because I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area. I grew up at a time when Joe Montana and the 49ers, you know, you expected them to win 13 games every year, and they did, and then they would win Super Bowls as well. Five of them, you know, while I was a child, I got to see. So it was a team that was winning, and when you had the best players, they came through and they won. And I had eight season tickets, and they went to three straight World Series, then 88, 89, and 90. Now, they only won one of them in 89. They lost the other two.
But it was success.
But it was success, and it was just constant success.
And now
you have the San Francisco Giants, who have won three of the last five World Series out there. The only team that really hasn't done anything is the Warriors, but now they've had some very good years as well. So in my opinion, you know, when I came to Cleveland, I remember, you know, talking with my friends and family here and saying, I think that they are going to go ahead and they're going to, you know, we're going to win. This team's going to win. And I remember the Indians when they were up in Boston, up 3-1, and Joel Skinner didn't send the guy around third. Then he ended a double play, and all of a sudden you lose when you've got, you know, Sabathia, Fausto Carmona, I believe, was the other pitcher in that series. And they blew that. And then LeBron's here. And I'm like, all right, well, now you've got the guy. They're going to win.
Sure thing.
Yeah. And everybody's like, don't get your hopes up. It's Cleveland. So there is a lot of negativity. There is is the curse. And, of course, things did not work out with LeBron the first go-round. And right now his second go-round, it seems, is off to an inauspicious beginning, to say the least. So there's something to it. There's something here, because I remember I came in and I was super optimistic. And I'm like, oh, Cleveland's going to win. They're going to win. They're going to win. They're going to win. And everybody from Cleveland's like, no, we're not. And I don't think that it can ultimately impact what happens on the court, because these fans, what I've noticed is buy in every year.
Yes.
Every year you're
very
the eternal
emotional
optimist, and you get in there. And then when it goes bad, you get very upset. There's a lot of anger in Cleveland, I would say, about the sports teams. Which I don't think is different really than any other city, but this is a city starved for a winner. They want one. And so when you hear sounds of dysfunction, like the reports right now about the discord between, you know, personnel and coaching, and again, I'll just reiterate, Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine have a phenomenal working relationship and personal relationship. So maybe on below that, there could be issues. It was kind of centered around Kyle Shanahan and his unhappiness, and that's why he wants to get out of here, as reported by Jason Lockenfora. But I think that one thing I want to make sure is that they got to tighten up these leaks here, because there are, I guarantee, in other NFL organizations, there are always conflicts between personnel and coaches, in the sense that, you know, personnel says, you know, you should be playing this guy, or coaches say, you know, we're playing this guy. And there's always going to be that natural give and take. But when it's handled in-house and handled the right way, there are no problems with that. There have to be natural conflicts. And that's why I said that with Ray and Pet, they may not always agree, but they work together, and they are able to go back now and have a series of meetings saying, listen, here's where our collaboration was successful. Here's where maybe our collaboration wasn't successful. Here's how we should do things going forward. And that's healthy. That's part of the process. But these leaks need to stop, and this kind of infighting needs to stop.
To pick up, just to talk, you know, Farmer Pettine, is I think what makes for such a great relationship is because when all the management issues happened, you know, about this time last year, we were sold on the hierarchy within the Cleveland Browns. And it was Jimmy Haslam, Alex Shiner, Ray Farmer, Mike Pettine. You know, it's not diluted with a bunch of positions like we've heard, you know, happen most recently in Philadelphia, where you get, you know, too many Chiefs, not enough Indians. And I believe also, too, that the mindset of Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine, why they have such a great working relationship, is because Ray Farmer, as a defensive football player, is a defensive-minded general manager. And we've heard his comments before talking about, you know, he feels, I know you're not in full agreement with it, that, you know, wide receivers, you can just play, they're like plug and play, you know, and that you know, because they don't have an impact on every single football play. And I think that you get Mike Pettine, who's a defensive-minded coach, who takes a safer approach, who wants to run the football to eat up the clock, that is the team that they're trying to build. That there's a concrete identity on the football team between those two men on what they want to accomplish. Now, they're not going to agree on every accord, but I think the fact that they have a working relationship both, you know, in the office and outside the office behooves everybody to believe that we've got the right people and they have a great relationship towards working towards accumulating the proper talent and competition within this locker room to put the best 53 on this roster that gives us an opportunity to win our division and to potentially take a step in the right direction, and that's making the playoffs.
No question about it. Let's go to Jim in Virginia. What's up, Jim? Let's go to Bob in New York City. What's up, Bob?
Hey, good afternoon, you guys.
How you doing?
I think I'm good. I would, you know, I think what's troubling for all of us is that, you know, it starts with our desire to win and overcome 50 years of frustration, and so that every little negative thing that surfaces is magnified.
Sure.
It's the same old, same old. But no, I leaks are troubling to any company.
Yep.
But they do reflect something, some smoke where there may be a fire. And continuity is one of the biggest weaknesses that I see it of the Browns over the last, call it 15 to what years. And losing Shanahan on a parallel move really sets back this organization.
I agree with you. The good news is they don't have to let him go in
right,
a parallel
and I
move.
Think they, but there's always that question of, well, if he's unhappy, what, you know, do you want him? But, you know, and Shanahan's a smart guy. We all know that. He's a really bright guy. Could be a head coach in this league. Hopefully he will be for his own career. But I think what the issue may be is that he's looking at building his resume, and I don't think he likes what he sees in front of him with Manziel. And so if there's this strong commitment to play Manziel, who he doesn't think can get the job done, I understand why he doesn't want to tie himself to it. And I think his voice is very important in that room, in those meeting rooms, because he's the guy that's got, you know, to sort of take his career and move it on off of the success of a team, off of an offense. And I don't, you know, maybe Manziel, in his mind, can't get it done.
I know that Kyle Shanahan certainly had a voice in the decision of which quarterback to be drafted. I don't know how big his voice was, but I know it certainly was a voice that was prominent in that. So hopefully he is okay with the quarterback that was drafted. He certainly would want to see that. But let me tell you this. When you look at Kyle Shanahan and you say, would you want to keep him here if he was unhappy? Yeah, you're paying him handsomely to do a job. And if he wants to be able to leave, he needs to be a head coach. And the way to do that is to be successful. So I think you'll still get everything about him, you know, and you'll get everything that, you know, you'll get his best, because if he wants a path out of here, it's as a head coach if he truly is unhappy. Now, if he's not unhappy, then stay here. Let's do a great job. Let's build something special. As the owner of the Cleveland Browns, Jimmy Haslam, walks by the Dog Bowl here in Berea today. But, you know, to me, you're going to get the best of Kyle Shanahan. If he gets an opportunity to be a head coach, you know, I don't begrudge him that whatsoever. But hopefully, you know, he is going to be here and keep that continuity as well. We'll see what happens with that. When we come back, senior staff writer Andrew Gribble with us as we begin our look at the running back position preview. Remember, we will talk with Browns legend Ernest Biner as well in the second hour. We'll hear from you, 216-578-0850 as well. Coming up here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.